Our next two, we have actually two speakers for our next presentation, and that is Dr. Brazil has a PhD in business management from Virginia Tech and has been teaching for 17 years. And she recently earned her MPH. And Dr. Giddens received his doctorate from George Washington University and is currently the chief human resource officer at Virginia Bioinformatics Institute at Virginia Tech. And he'll come and talk about examining the applicability of a model of transformational leadership.
Thank you. I'm going to stand over here so you don't see just the top half of my face. Thank you for that introduction. A little bit more? Okay. So full disclaimer here, I'm the low dream part of this presentation. Brian's the high dream part of this presentation. So that's right, it's all on you. And I'll zip through the low dream so we don't get too depressed.
Are you the dream team?
So we are the dream team, you got it. Okay, so let's see if I've got this. The APHA disclaimers all here, we have nothing to disclose. Roadmap for today's presentation, we're going to talk about challenges public health agencies face, and I'm going to guess all of you can talk about that really, really well. And I've picked out a number of them that kind of stand out for me. And then we're going to move on to the transformational leadership model and how that might be one of them, how it might be applicable to deal with some of those challenges. And then the goal would be to identify leader behaviors that are consistent with the model, and then some of the benefits and potential implications for public health agencies. So, challenges. A couple of the challenges, four of the challenges public health agencies face right now are changing demands, economic conditions, as we heard, I think for sure from Dina, we talked about that already. Public's perception, this plays a role in how we are perceived and what can be done. And then the public health workforce, we got some challenges there too. So, beginning with changing demands, our American population is aging, and we all know that. That's not particularly news. But it's the numbers are kind of interesting. In 25 years, approximately 20% will be 65 or over. Less than 1% of U.S. physicians are geriatricians. So we have all these old folks with nobody that knows how to take care of them particularly well. They don't have the expertise to do it. So clearly the need for prevention, what public health folks do, is really great. However, courses in geriatric health are extremely rare in MPH programs. And what I mean by this is required courses. There are electives out there, and I did a down and dirty quick look at the public health programs in my state. And I think there was one course I saw in geriatric health. Okay. So moving on, the economy. These are all really grim figures. I'm sure many of you know them. Yeah, I don't know if you knew the details, but local health departments in 2008 lost 7,000 jobs. For 6 months of this year, 8,000 jobs lost. Okay, I don't know what the trend is. I wasn't able to get that, what the trend is for the remaining 6 months, but it's been pretty grim. Reduction in work hours or mandatory furloughs suffered by 50% of local health departments. This impacted, in the first 6 months of this year, this impacted 12,000 people. Okay, and then there were programmatic cuts for 55% of surveyed local health departments. And programs like maternal and child health, so very traditional public health programs, but also for emergency preparedness, which is a new area for public health agencies. Okay, public perceptions. We have a bunch of government retirements potentially happening in the near future. Over 50% of some states' public health agencies will retire or are eligible to retire in 2012. Over 50%. That's a whole pile of people. A lot of people, a lot of institutional memory walking out the door. And so how do we capture that? What are we going to do to make sure we can hold on to that knowledge and that information? The challenge here is two-thirds of the public doesn't see this as a problem. Okay, that's kind of an interesting piece. The perception also is that it's difficult to get government jobs. Okay, people think it's very, very challenging at particularly local and state levels. And I think historically this may have been particularly true at the at the federal level. People are also seeing that, although the data was not specifically to federal, it was more for local and state. And then people perceive that there are very few opportunities to be creative or innovative in governmental agencies across the board. So if you're trying to recruit people, develop new leaders, they don't see that they can be creative or innovative in your organizations. That's not a good thing, because we got a generation that's all about let's do something interesting. Okay. For the public health workplace, additional research in public health workplace. People tend to believe that there's no recognition or reward for skill enhancement or performance. This is about public health agencies. And lack of competitive wages. We know that public health doesn't pay quite as well as the private sector. And then turnover rate, annual turnover rate of 13%. That's expensive. It costs a lot of money to recruit people. It costs a lot of money to train people. And to do this every year, to lose 13% of your people is pretty daunting. So, as a result, we have, we're going to suggest that perhaps this model can assist us.
Okay. Now that Morena's gotten us sufficiently depressed about the state of public health, and I wish I had a silver bullet, but I don't, okay? But I do have some ideas about leadership and its potential impact, particularly at sort of the lower levels of the middle management. A lot of emphasis is put on leadership at sort of the higher levels of organization. But I guess I would say that you need that same sort of emphasis on middle management and some of the lower levels of organization so that everybody takes a part in the leadership process. One of the most important outcomes of effective leadership is that it positively affects organizational culture, okay? It fosters innovation and adaptability, which allows you to more creatively come up with solutions to some of the challenges that you may face as an organization. Most importantly, it positions public health by shaping organizational culture to reflect constructive organizational cultural norms. And I'll talk about some definitions and what I mean by constructive organizational cultural norms. But first, I want to start with a model of transformational leadership that I've worked with during my research. You've seen many models, I'm sure, of transformational leadership, and I guess the labels are not as important as the tenets of them, okay? You'll see different labels. You'll see consideration, individual consideration, and things like that on some other models. So I'm here to talk about this particular model. One of the first tenets of transformational leadership is vision. That's the leader having a future orientation and able to rally the team around a shared vision for the organization. It also involves taking risks, appropriate risks, because if you don't take risks in the organization, you're going to keep getting the same thing you've gotten in the past if you keep doing the same thing. There's also an action orientation, the influence orientation of transformational leadership. That's where you empower team leaders and you build a collaborative environment and encourage open communication. The third dimension is the people orientation. That's where you consider the individual needs and rewards appropriately for team members, ensuring value for the people involved in the team. The last two is motivational orientation, where you encourage creativity, you develop others, you inspire others. That's where you foster the innovation and the creative part of people. And this last one is really important too. My research has found that this is one of the more important orientations, and that involves the values orientation. That's the leader who demonstrates high standards, leads by example. Because one of the fundamental tenets of leadership is trust. And so you have to be able to trust leaders who are in place to lead the organization and to have to believe in them in order to follow them. So some of the outcomes associated with transformational leadership across organizations, this includes governmental, military, educational, including public health, is to facilitate the leader's ability to develop a shared vision, foster innovation, and empower others to achieve higher levels of performance. The most important outcome, as I said earlier, of leadership is the ability to shape organizational culture. And what we want to do is shape that towards Lafferty and Cook refer to as constructive organizational culture. And there are four tenets associated with that. constructive organization cultures encourage members to interact with others. They encourage members to approach tasks in ways that help them meet higher order needs. And they're characterized by these five characteristics. And we'll talk about each really quickly. This is sort of like Jay talked about as far as drinking water from a fire hose. It's a lot of information, but the point is that the important part of leadership is to shape organizational culture. And shape the organizational culture in such a way that you're able to address challenges, that you're able to reduce turnover, increase engagement by employees, so they're more involved in the leadership process. So when an issue comes up, you're more easily able to rally the team around solving problems. Organizational culture norms, the achievement norm. That's the idea in the organization that we do things well and members get together and they set and accomplish goals. The self-actualizing cultural value talks about creativity, quality over quantity. Okay, that's doing things well. Let's think outside the box rather than just being sort of a production line and individual growth. Humanistic encouraging cultures, that speaks to managing in a participative, human-centered way. Really looking at people's individual needs and aligning those needs with the organizational needs. Constructive interpersonal relationships are also paramount. How do we communicate? How do we talk to each other? How do we relate within the workplace? So I know I've been talking at sort of the 30,000 foot level, and that's just to set up a framework by which we can, by agency, start to look at individual competencies for leaders. So the idea would be to use the transformational leadership framework to develop a competency-based model of leadership. What I'm talking about there is going in and looking at people orientation or vision orientation and working with agencies to decide what does that look like within my organization specifically. Okay, and then we have a variety of organizations here, but that would be the work, sort of the next steps to take here. Then once you have that, then what you have is a profile or tool that you can then use to assess the competency gaps that may exist in your organization, especially for middle managers. Okay, so you assess the competency gaps, and that also develops the, identifies the leadership development needs. So the idea is you have sort of a profile, you assess folks against this profile, And you look for the gaps, and that informs any leadership development or training development that you need to have for the individual leader. Once you get mature in this process, you develop some norms in and around what a leader looks like within your agency, then you can integrate those competencies into leader selection. Okay, so you can better select leaders, leaders that don't require or don't have as large as competency gaps to address, who can get up to speed and running more quickly. And you also can integrate into your performance management and talent management processes as well. So you can start to manage behaviors toward effective leadership. So in conclusion, transformational leadership may be a useful framework for examining public health leadership and developing competencies that improve organizational performance. It does require the development of a constructive organization culture. I mean, that's the whole, in my opinion at least, that's the whole purpose of leadership, is to shape the organization to be successful. And constructive organizational cultures will enable public health organizations to address the current challenges that Maureen mentioned earlier. Thank you.